For December the 20th, 2013, we talk about Starbound, Walking Dead Season 2, and we ask you to name your favorite games of 2013. Welcome to the 44th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And we're all here and very excited to be doing an episode of The Level, a podcast for people who just, by God, love video games. Sorry, guys.
I love that we all did a line of crack cocaine. We can't do lines of crack. Line of cocaine? No. How does that work?
Okay,
right,
I can edit that.
We just said those lines.
I can edit that and blackmail you because I now have Dennis Furia saying, I love crack cocaine. Yeah, but I didn't mean to start us at such a high level. I didn't realize that I didn't leave you a lot of places to go but up.
Yeah, we'll make up with a lack of quantity with an abundance of quality.
Yes.
By which we mean enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, if you haven't noticed, those Yules are a Titan, and we've been on kind of a weird little holiday schedule with ins and outs and blah, blah, blahs, and I was 2 hours late to this recording session because of a company Christmas party, and everybody here is
it was, you know, a cult. Ready. Don't tell him.
Well, my work is basically a cult, so. But it's like a super cool cult where they make Christmas cookies that are decorated after you, and then complain that after Cole's cookie, they ran out of black frosting.
Instead of juice, you guys just drink whiskey, so that's a pretty good trade-off.
have I talked about how rampant the drinking is at Epiphia?
It's
an agency.
Okay, it's an agency. Yeah, but so Holiday Tide brings a bunch of things. Among them, a lack of news. Not an awful lot is happening. Also, lateness. So this show needs to go pretty quick because it is goddamn near the crack hours in the morning. Sorry, I've got crack on the mind. And also game of the year-ish discussions. I don't want to call it game of the year. I just want us to take a moment, and we asked you in the multiplayer to reflect on games that really left an impression on you this year. They could have come out this year, they could have not, but I want us all to ruminate on that for a moment. So yeah. Any lingering business before we proceed?
Mm-mm. Let's get to it.
Oh, I will say, if you came to the network because of the My Brother and Me ad, let us know. I want to track whatever spillover there is. So if you checked out Watch Out for Fireballs from that, and you're like, hey, what's this Level podcast? Let me know, and let us know how we can serve you. And
yeah, welcome to the original Duck Feed podcast.
Yeah, yeah, no, we are OG legit. We are OG legit.
OG legit.
OG legit.
OG legit.
Hey, guys, let's grind it up.
The grind
into a fine powder like crack cocaine.
Damn it!
did I snake your quip?
No, that was good.
Okie doke. Okay. No, did I? Tell me, Dennis. Did I snake your quip?
You actually didn't. I was just damning because this is going to be a thing now.
I don't know that it's a thing. Like, basically, as soon as I get bored with it, then it will stop because I will tell you guys to stop.
And we always listen when you do that.
Yeah.
Defenestration.
God damn it. Oh, man. So The Grind is where we talk about the games we have been playing. Other podcasts call it the What You've Been Playing segment. We're just a little bit different, you know.
From our last podcast.
So I will ask, since it's been a minute since we've convened, who wants to volunteer?
Can I go first since it's been...
Yes, it's been like 4 months.
Yeah, it's... Hi.
What's your name again?
Yeah. So, I am Dennis. I swear to God, I am on this show okay. From time to time.
We'll see.
Yeah, so I've got to reinitiate myself. It's like, you know, if you're... I don't know. Anyway, see, I'm rusty on my analogies. God
it's
damn
like
it.
It's like a gang, Dennis. It's like a gang.
Yeah, we beat you in and we beat you out.
Your registration expire, you have to take your driver's test again, but that's not true. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's
if by driver's test you mean kneecap sturdiness test, then yes.
playing.
See you at Christmas, Dennis.
Oh, man, so we are not punchy going tonight. This is good. No, tell me. Yeah, go.
Yeah. So I think the last time I was actually on, I had just gotten my PlayStation Vita, which I found used online at a great price. I figured why not, and I had like 3 million games for it through PlayStation Plus. So I pulled the trigger. I told myself I was going to wait for a PlayStation PS4 and Vita bundle, and it just kind of got trigger happy. So I've got that. Played and finished Uncharted Golden Abyss, which is the Vita doesn't have any killer apps, but that's as close to one as you're going to get. And it is a legit Uncharted game. Like has everything that you would expect in Uncharted. It doesn't feel scaled back at all. And is really, really good overall.
So, I heard some criticism of the Eastern European stand-in they got for Nathan Drake.
Eastern European stand-in?
Yeah. because Nolan North is picky about his work. No, that was just the dumbest joke. I'm sorry.
No, I see where you're going with it now. Why don't we try to lead into that a different way, maybe, and okay. it'll click.
Yeah. Did they cut any corners, Dennis?
Ah, there you go. Okay. Not really. I was looking for it too, you know? So the one thing I'll say is that I noticed camera is not on rails, but restricted slightly more often.
Is it God of War-esque in the way that it asserts its control? Or?
No, not at all. In fact, they do a really good job of giving you beautiful vantage points throughout where you can just kind of stop and look. So that, you know, they can do, really, really good scenery. It's just in some of the, you know, between passageways and everything, rather than having full control of the camera all the time, mm-hmm. you could kind of, it would follow your character and you could pan left or right, but it kind of kept focused on where you needed to go. It didn't actually affect the gameplay whenever it happened. It was just the one thing I noticed that was like, huh, maybe this is a less powerful system.
I think I would trust the Uncharted guys to show me something interesting. Like if they were going to wrestle control of that away from me, like there are plenty of other studios who'd be like, oh God, what's this? But like their vistas are pretty dope. So
yeah. And I mean, you can tell a little bit more that it's a skybox here and there, but you're playing on a smaller screen. So it's not like I'm analyzing every pixel, and that's not what makes a good game anyway. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like, you know, number of enemies on the screen at the same time, same as any other Uncharted game. The twin stick shooting feels really, really good. They added a mechanic where you can just tap the screen where you want to throw a grenade rather than kind of doing the arc and aim type of deal.
That's nice.
Yeah, and it works pretty well. The only problem is, you know, if just the angle at which you're looking at something means you're viewing a flat plane from relatively level to that plane. A very small movement of your thumb covers a lot of distance, so it's easy to miss. So the most effective way is just to tap on guys, and then you'll hit them with the grenade. And, you know, that works. But they also make really good use of the touchscreen throughout. So they do that with the grenades. They make it so when you're climbing, you can just kind of paint where you want to go, and he'll go there.
Nice.
Yeah. And I didn't realize it was an annoyance until I had the alternative. But one of the annoyances in the Uncharted series is when you're climbing and it's not exactly clear the perfect direction you need to push the left thumbstick for you to advance.
Right.
And so you just kind of arc it back and forth until you see him reach for something, and then, you know, then you keep on going. With the painting thing, you just kind of swipe along the trail of yellow objects that Uncharted is known for, kind of marking the way, and he climbs it for you. So that was a smart use.
It's not, though, like the first Assassin's Creed where you could literally just, like, point in a direction and your character would figure out his way. It's still the puzzle thing?
There's not so much climbing puzzles in terms of, like, where do I go? You know, you just kind of swipe along. So it's not like Assassin's Creed because that's more, you know, parkour running. This is when you're, like, scaling a wall. It's like, okay, I kind of see the pattern of handholds that'll get me to the top. I'll just swipe along that and up I go.
Okay.
Which frees you up to kind of look around, and they do a lot of gunplay while you're climbing, which is nice to be able to focus on the gunplay rather than the climbing. So
that seems like a horrible idea. Like, here I'm hanging precipitously while... from a ledge. You know what I need? Some kickback.
Yeah. Exactly. But overall, it feels like and plays like a true Uncharted game, on par with any of the other ones. The story, macro-wise, I'd say is on par with Uncharted 3 in that, you know, it's got a couple holes in it. It's a little far-fetched here and there, but, you know, overall it hangs together. And the moment-to-moment writing is as strong as it's ever been, which I go.
does it have a ridiculous turn? Like,
It depends on what the threshold is for ridiculous. It's not
Are
ridiculous.
There blue Yeti people?
No. It does
get green. What were you thinking? Yeah.
They have class this time.
So there's definitely a turn. It's closer to Uncharted 3 than it is to Uncharted 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'll say for anyone, you know, who wants to play the game, if one of the five people who own a PS Vita is listening. So, but yeah, it's really good. I actually noticed they did a better job of the moment-to-moment banter. So Uncharted 3 kind of fell flat where you'd run 5 feet, go to a cutscene for a short little clip of dialogue, run 5 feet, go to another cutscene. And they just were very, everything was in a cutscene. This one, there's the same amount of like funny banter back and forth, but it's built into your moment to moment interaction. So it felt much more natural, and I liked that a lot better than they did with Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
So beat that and enjoyed it thoroughly. That was the majority of the time I was traveling for the second time in this whole stretch.
That's that's a pretty good thing to have on a travel. Like, you bought that Vita at a great time.
Well, I thought I did, and then I don't know if I talked about this. No, I haven't yet. So I bought it right before I went on a 2-week vacation, which I was like, and we were, you know, kind of bouncing around between multiple cities, so I was going to have a lot of time on flights. Perfect, you know, perfect time to have a Vita. And I brought just the USB charger because, you know, hey, why not? Only come to find out that it does absolutely nothing to charge your Vita. You need the AC adapter.
Oh, it's just like a data thing?
It's the Vita. I don't know what it is. I read about it online, and apparently there's a setting where, you know, if you have, you can hook it up to your computer to transfer data back and forth, and you can turn off taking power from the computer, though. I guess, you know, if you don't want to steal your computer's battery or something. I don't understand why you would do that. It would have to be such a unique circumstance. But apparently that was turned on my Vita, and so it wouldn't charge. Mm-hmm. So I had it for the flight over, and then it was just dead for the rest of the time.
That's got to be – and you're still hauling it around?
Yeah, it was – I mean, we tucked it into the luggage, and I just kind of tried to forget about it for the week. So you know, lots of time. I read Dante's Inferno, which most people is probably a better use of time, but definitely missed my big opportunity to play. But I've been playing a lot around the house, just as, you know, I want to play something and don't want to completely dominate the living room.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jen watches a bunch of TV shows, and I'll kind of sit next to her, and I'm not really invested in the show, so I'll play Vita, and it works really well. Hmm. Which was the main rationale behind me getting it in the first place, that and travel.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I talked about this on the Lost episode or not, but I've been playing a lot of the Star Wars pinball game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love me some pinball. I managed earlier, either today or yesterday, to break into the top 200 scores for one of the tables. Which, you know,
this worldwide?
I was going to say, what's the total number of people in this? 300? <It's>,
Yeah. No.
200 and what?
I'd have to go look for the actual number for worldwide, but it's, I think, in the, you know, in the thousands. So I was proud of me.
It's really funny to me because when PlayStation Plus you know, added Star Wars Pinball, for me that's like, man, that's such a crappy game, Dad. But then this has been like your game that you've been playing
for
a long time.
It's so great, and you can just pick it up and play it for, you know, 5 minutes at a time. I've been sinking my time into that. So, ladies, I am very good at a Star Wars pinball video game.
Would you say you're a pinball wizard?
I would say I'm a pinball Jedi.
No difference. Literally no difference.
Yeah. So, ladies, line forms to the right. You know, all that stuff. But I've been playing other things, but I figure just in the name of not completely dominating this conversation with my backlog, I'll save those for later weeks. But on the whole, my experience with the Vita has been very good.
Nice. And all of those are just ones that you accumulated in the free game Katamari that is PSN Plus.
Yeah, yeah. And this has been over, I've owned it for, or I've had PS Plus for about a year. And in that space of a year, I've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's probably close to 20 PlayStation Vita games. So I'm set for a while.
Some of them have been big titles.
Yeah, Uncharted Golden Abyss, Gravity Rush, I'll talk about later. I'm trying to remember the other ones that there are. Oh, the Zero Escape, Virtue's Last Reward. Cole, you like that?
Oh, man, that is such a good game. Sorry, yeah. I had a mouthful of gin and tonic.
So I have not started it yet, but it is free to me to play. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that will be at some point in the future. I almost bought Tearaway because it's been reviewed so well.
Yeah, yeah, that's the new one from the Little Big Planet guys.
Yep. Yeah, Media Molecule. And it's gotten, like I said, everyone loves it who's touched it, all five of them. So I'm sure I'll get to that at some point. I probably could just wait a couple months and it'll be on, PlayStation Plus. So
yeah,
that's me for now.
That is you. That is indeed you. Who will I volunteer to go next?
As a side note, thank you for the gift.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask you, Ben, maybe offline. Do you have a Steam ID?
I do not.
Okay. I am doing my Christmas shopping for you guys on the podcast. Dennis, you have already
received
yours.
We're doing this live.
Yeah, we're doing it live.
Oh, Steam's not up for me right now. Let's see what I got. How much does Cole like me?
He likes me gone home dollars.
that's good.
Oh man, and because of that awesome quip, Ben, I'm gonna ask you to volunteer.
Yeah, ask me to volunteer myself or somebody else.
Yourself.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, that's ambiguous, right? Right.
I think so, yeah. Right.
All right, so I have to remember when the last podcast was and like what the last thing I talked about was. So we had a podcast since Thanksgiving?
Yes.
All right. So I then mentioned, because that was where my current log, it's not even a backlog, it's my current log. So it's clog spelled the right way.
Yes.
It's my clog right now with a C is Dragon Age 2.
Yes, we have spoken about that.
That's first up. I am finished with the game. I did not finish the game, but I am finished with the game.
Okay.
which is kind of unlike me. Normally, I will see a game through. This game is fine. It's a couple years old. It's given me a little bit of a fix as far as having a combat system similar to Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
And an upgrade system that's kind of similar as well. It was kind of a time killer and something kind of interesting to play. But, yeah, I got to a point where it's pretty much the third act. And I got to a fight that was hard. I put it on the easy setting and I still couldn't beat it after a couple tries.
Was that
with
the Aeroshock?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that one's really, really hard.
Yeah. So I was like, yep, I'm done. They have – one of the cool things in the combat system is they – and this is similar to any sort of, I guess, Final Fantasy tactics game. I assume I haven't played them. But there's tactics in this game where it's basically like AI commands that you can put in your characters.
It's more similar to Final Fantasy XII.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you basically put up a conditional statement and you put an action associated with it.
Yeah.
And so – it's kind of nice because you can kind of couple skills really nicely. So you can have your mage petrify a bunch of people, and then you can have your person who does like extra damage to petrify, like attack those people specifically. So there's a lot of nice combos with that. So that's kind of fun to tinker around with. But anyway, I'm done with it. It's fine. If you haven't played this game and you also haven't played Knights of the Old Republic, play Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
So who did you have sex with? That's the real question.
Would I have sex with it?
Yeah, well, what did sex with?
Oh, all right.
No, you're both wrong. Who? What characters?
What character? Yeah, so one point in this game that was almost like, it was almost the same game as Saints Row in the sense that you can just romance anybody you see. Yeah. I was waiting for a moment for you to be able to romance your own mother in the game. I thought, that moment did not come, thankfully.
Don't be crass.
Well, I mean, dude, you can romance everyone you talk to.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not drawing a lot, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I romanced a dude because I was just romancing everybody. But he was like the first
moves.
One. He was the first one to take the bait. but then what I thought was funny was he asked if he could move in, and I said no, and just broke his heart.
Which one was this?
It was the dude with the white stuff on him.
Oh, Fenris?
It's a bad way to describe
him.
Yeah,
no, Fenris, the guy with the runes that are etched into his skin, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely not very discriminating with the pairings. Everybody. Yeah.
What was it? Zarthan from Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah.
Zatarans.
Yeah.
The
Zatarans.
This is trumpet attack.
He's the bard.
He was like the assassin, like the immoral.
Yeah, some fantasy name that started with a Z. Probably had an A with umlauts.
So it's like Zevris or something like that. Like
yeah.
No. When I played Dragon Age, I was with Meryl.
Okay,
that accent is cute.
I tried, man. I used the romance option every time. She just didn't take the bait.
Yeah.
What can you do?
So ever since you talked about Dragon Age 2, I was thinking back on it and, you know, reflecting on my experience and thinking about, you know, where it succeeded, where it failed, you know, et cetera, and on down the line. And what I love is, like, you're treated as this huge iconoclast in the story, like this person who's just, you know, shaking down the halls of power from their very foundation. But really all you are is just like a dethroned rich kid who fucks up literally everything, and you associate with the most broken people in the entire world. Like, you're just rolling around with in some cases awful people, but you know, in the best of cases, just very unlucky. And you know, you are cited in the narration as being the cause of this massive world war, when in reality it's just misadventures and you turning everything you touch to shit.
It sounds like such a great game.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get that sense, Ben? Or is that just me in hindsight?
I don't know. I had almost zero connection with the main character, perhaps because of his British accent.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't know why exactly. I don't know. So it. I don't know. I was not in any way emotionally attached to this game.
You have a policy of not listening to British people?
I don't know. Yeah. Are you British? Because that will determine my answer. I don't know. Anyway.
Huh.
So this game, I'm done with. I started my next game, Beyond Two Souls.
Ooh, wow.
Second on my list.
Yeah. just proving that games cascade from person to person on the show.
Yeah. So I believe I'm the third person to start this game up, I guess. So, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
I've played like the first six missions. It's not bad. I have not felt like it's bad yet. We'll see if I don't know if there's some spooky ghosts that come up or whatever. I mean, it's like the same thing as Heavy Rain, where I mean, there's contrivances in the script where, like, you know, like like how all the kids act in Heavy Rain, where like I don't know, they're very much caricatures of kids, you know, like.
You're talking about the party scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an episode of Full House.
Like, no, seriously.
Everyone's
going
to bully up on this girl.
And, smoke this marijuana cigarette, or we'll throw rocks at you.
You're not cool, yeah.
Yeah.
So
Full House with ghosts.
So the Ivan mechanic's pretty cool. I don't want to go into it just because I don't want to spoil anything. But so the main mechanic of the game's pretty cool. The controls.
Ben, did you leave the party or did you stay at the party?
I left.
Oh man!
So I'm the only one who fucks shit up.
No, I went full carry.
Like, okay, yeah, same here.
Yeah. Never go 4K.
Oh, no.
Oh, who was talking about Beyond Two Souls and said that they didn't have the heart to stick around? Maybe that was someone else. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's fine so far. I've only played it for maybe an hour, hour and a half. So it's I'm not too deep into it yet. So so that one will be on hold for when I get back after Christmas. Hmm. So
yeah. So that's another game that I'd been playing. I totally forgot about it until you brought it up, because I've decided I'm like you with Dragon Age 2. I'm done with it. The only thing I'll say, because I wanted to like the game so bad, and it succeeds in a couple places.
Let me ask, Navajo?
Not even Navajo. So okay. That, you know, Navajo was, if you look at it as a, I was almost like, that should have been DLC. Or, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Like, it just, the stories, yeah, it gets a little wacky in places. But again, I'm willing to forgive it because it was trying to do interesting things. And there is a lot to like early on. Mm-hmm. But what I'll say is the whole timeline thing, the story, the main thrust, the two main thrusts you're following mm-hmm. are the protagonist's life as she is kind of on the run from the government, and her life leading up to the event that caused her to be on the run from the government.
Right.
So there's a really, you know, I kind of get the idea of what they're trying to do with it. It's like, okay, I'm following these two lines, and I'm wondering what happened to, you know, what was the breaking point between those two, and then where does she go, you know, from here? And, you know, that was, I think we've talked about it before on the show, how oftentimes in video games, the idea of the story is a lot cooler than the execution.
Yeah.
So, you know, like in Final Fantasy VI, having this, you know, epic opera that, you know, you have to improvise in and everything is a really cool idea. But ultimately, if you look at what's happening on the screen,
yeah,
it's pretty lame and contrived. So that, you know, I was giving Beyond Two Souls that pass. But then when I got to the climax of each of those two main thrusts, both were completely not satisfying.
Hmm.
And so, you know, with that in mind and knowing I had more of the game to go, I was just like, well, I've just lost all my motivation.
Yeah.
I've seen what I wanted to see. I'm out.
And peace. I was about to ask you questions, but I realized I can't remember what would qualify as the climaxes in both of those.
Yeah.
I've also cooled on it just a little bit, which I'm sure Ben is just sitting there with a sinking feeling in his gut. But
yeah, sorry, Ben. It takes turns for the worst.
I finished it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I left it with a positive response, and I don't regret the time that I spent with it because, like Ben said, it does interesting things. But you know, I think that is a very valid, you know, if somebody cared more about endings or plot as opposed to story than I do, mm-hmm. you know, then I can see where they would be disappointed.
Yeah. So the thing I will be interested to see is where Ben will, if Ben will finish, or where he will stop. Yeah. So Ben, you'll have to tell us at some point where your breaking point is.
Yeah, I like how it's not even an if statement. It's a when statement.
I said if you'll finish.
I mean, when you get to the end, obviously you're going to stop. So that's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he just keeps playing indefinitely, just over and over again.
That's
funny.
Like
Limbo. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So, that's all I got.
Okay. Cool. What's your opinion on the acting? Because
it's better than Heavy Rain, but that does not say much.
Bravo.
It's not narrow the scope.
Bravo.
I would like to see a statistic for how many hours of just Joey weeping audio they have on the game.
Yeah, she cries a lot.
A lot.
Oh. All right. Okay. I'm going to send you a YouTube link of a supercut of was it Julianne Moore crying in movies.
I think literally the only movie I've seen that she has that she didn't cry in was The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Vagina. David, what up?
What up?
What you been grinding on, I guess. Crack cocaine? I don't know.
Wow.
Hasn't gotten old yet.
Nope.
Not yet. No, I don't know. I've been doing the Kingdom of Loathing Christmas event. That's kind of been my big thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, mechanized polar bears from another dimension are invading and trying to ruin Christmas.
Yeah, the bastards.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's actually all I've got from this one. I'm just kind of mass killing them. So hopefully they're the good bad guys.
I love that it's unclear.
Well, Kingdom of Loathing's their version of Santa Claus is actually like Santa Claus is like brother or cousin or something after the original Santa Claus died, and so he's kind of just this deadbeat that lives in a trailer. So each year is the adventure or whatever is how he has managed to screw up Christmas through his own like selfishness or incompetence or whatever, and then leading up to December 25th is you going through trying to fix whatever he did.
Nice.
So it remains to see what he did to cause irate polar bears to invade.
Yeah. So they could be entirely justified.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, they are.
generally speaking. generally speaking. Okay.
Generally speaking. Well, and I mean, you know, polar bears are trustworthy chaps.
Oh, they're white.
Oh, God.
Well, like
so is Santa Claus. Am I right, guys?
No.
Topical.
So, other than that, I actually picked up on Early Access. Have you guys seen Starbound at all?
I have, and somebody just bought me it as a gift, so I'm very, very excited. Nice. Please explain the premise of Starbound.
Yeah, it's it's same idea as Terraria, which is the same idea as Minecraft except 2D. But basically, your world's been destroyed, and now you have crash landed on a planet, and you're trying to survive. But it really, really doubles down on the procedural generation.
Yeah.
So in terms of much more just weird stuff. For example, on my world, the trees have like brains growing off of them.
The brain trees and the brain forest.
Right, exactly. And like I've seen like a lot of the enemies are very Mad Libs, so like you can, be attacked by like a butterfly with a fro that shoots lightning.
Oh, so it's like Scribblenauts.
Yes, it's that seems to be what it is. I'm not far enough in to really get a good grasp on it. But yeah, it's very much just that sort of thing. A polar bear that vomits blood that's on fire. Things like that.
Mm-hmm. blood that's on fire. And so on in that fashion.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah.
But it's, seems like they're trying to make it, much more complex. Different planets have different biomes, apparently different gravities. Stuff like that.
Over top of, the general Minecraft stuff, they have like cold damage, so you can be damaged by exposure, which is something I really liked about Mistcraft. Wasn't in the main game. And so that idea that you can just land on this really, really hostile terrain and actually have it be just completely inhospitable to you, and also synonym about place that doesn't want you there.
it's also kind of strategic. So I actually just went and checked out a ice planet, And part of the thing with that is ice plants, you know, really, really suck to be on because they tend to be cold and not have, you know, trees or other things that you'd need to make fire to make not cold. But, you know, because of science or something, they also have lots and lots of ore. So, you know, you can, if you can survive on them, you can get a lot of, you know, natural resources in order to do crafting.
Hmm.
So, I think my favorite part, though, so far, though, is I'm playing as the race they call the Florian, which are basically plant people.
Oh, so the fire planet is exactly where you want to go.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. But, I like the plant people are basically set up to be the exact opposite of every stereotype of a plant person.
Okay.
Of, like, the plant race. So, kind of their backstory is they're basically, like, brutal, aggressively carnivorous, like, you know, caveman-type society that relies on people, you know, star travelers, assuming that, you know, plant people are going to be all one with nature and peaceful, and then traps them and eats them and takes their technology.
Nice.
So, and, you know, like, you know, very blatantly, you know, don't care about the environment at all, just clear-cut everything for natural resources. Oh, and
that's funny.
But, so whenever you, you can, you know, you can inspect, you know, any of the various, you know, features or enemies or stuff like that, and all the dialogue is apparently, specific to the race.
Mm-hmm.
So as this plant person, you know, my dialogue, if I check out like a campfire is, you know, me greatly fear of fire, but like cooking.
Okay.
Just, you know, it's just very, very weird. You know, there's kind of there's a lot of comedic elements like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you know, I haven't played this firsthand, so I'm just repeating things I've heard about this, you know, from other podcasts. But just it sounds like there's an awful lot of I almost said hirsute content, but bespoke content was what I meant to say. There's a lot of like writing for something that is, you know, procedurally generated, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a there actually is an overall storyline, and apparently it sounds like maybe there's kind of an overall arc, but also your storyline depends on your race.
Hmm.
So, some of them it's fairly obvious, like, one of the races are basically monkey people that have this, you know, highly advanced collectivist society.
Hmm.
Where in order to advance the society, people are randomly chosen to basically be experimented on and, like, are never seen again.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that anyone that complains about this society gets randomly chosen. So, you know, there's very strongly the implication that that's what, like, their racial story is going to be. The robot people, also very cool. They're, kind of their background is they were created in order to be an experiment in how societies evolve over time and, you know, develop. However, they had a glitch and they're stuck in the medieval time. So, like, it's basically, you know, this highly technologically advanced race that thinks it's still in the Middle Ages and, like, you know, burns witches and stuff. So, there's a lot, you know, all of the races have their own journal entries, you know, stuff like that.
Neat.
Yeah.
Minecraft and Terraria in that there really is no main thrust other than kind of exploring and tinkering.
Yeah, it seems, you know, there is definitely, you know, there's boss battles, there's definitely a progression. At the same time, like, apparently you can eventually pick out a homeworld and, well, one of the planets and define as your homeworld and actually start, like, attracting colonists. So I think it's also ultimately ends up just being, you know, kind of like that, just kind of, you know, build cool stuff and live your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's awesome that they haven't lost that in adding that extra intergalactic level of complexity, that notion of making your own goals, which I think is, for a certain kind of person, what drives Minecraft to be so interesting. Never played Terraria, so I don't know. But
Yeah. Same. You know, that was definitely the case in Terraria. One of the things I liked in Terraria that I don't know if Minecraft did, but did Minecraft ever have people actually, like, create pre-rendered, like, challenge levels?
Yeah. It only recently is officially supported, but I haven't tried the implementation. Even back as far as the mid to late beta, there were people who would just distribute .zip files of maps that they had made, and just kind of like, oh, you agree not to destroy these blocks, you'll follow it along. And they created, like, adventure maps. And they're adding some of that in, but I haven't seen what it does.
Nice. Yeah. I know that was the thing with Terraria. I don't know if that will be with this, although I know they very explicitly are pro-modding, so I'm assuming that'll be supported.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's that's exciting. I love the idea of a community surrounding something, because they'll be able to bubble the good stuff up to the top.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because apparently they're already are people developing / have developed mods, and the game isn't even out of beta.
Yeah, it's early access.
It's kind of the way they explain it. You know, right now it's fairly early beta. You know, wipes and crashes should be expected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're just probably fairly soon, you know, next couple of weeks, kind of trying to get into their stable beta where, you know, ideally they won't need wipes and it'll just be kind of adding things.
Yeah. But, you know, and by like, okay, we're going to explain the way this works, they mean, okay, this is like every other single alpha-funded thing, because that is now a thing everybody does because Minecraft.
Right, exactly. Although it's still amazing to me, people that don't get that.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Like, I've been reading the forums, and granted, that was my first mistake.
I was going to say, there's an easy way to fix that.
But just, like, you know, like, people explain, you know, complaining that, you know, technically a beta is, you know, all features implemented, like bug testing, so technically this is an alpha.
Yeah,
it's like, really? that's how
to be fair, they're being pedantic about a definition of beta that predates Google, and everybody knows that Google has not only killed the term beta, but strung its intestines up like garland.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know, every game, like, even games that aren't doing the early access thing where, you know, beta actually means, here's your demo, still are implementing features as you're doing it.
Yeah.
It seems really good.
I'm excited to have a moment of repose. I don't know what over the holiday, so I can give it a shot.
It's a moment of repost.
A moment of repost. Yes. Huh. Neat.
Respite or respite.
Respite. I prefer
spiting
respite.
Against work. Yeah.
I prefer respite.
Well, yeah, you're building up your level of spite. I mean, you don't want to run out of spite.
Yeah, rage against the dying of the spite. David, anything else, or is Starbound it?
The only other thing, I'm sorry, Dennis, I had to break down and I bought Borderlands 2 on Steam.
Oh, no more PS3 for you?
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to still use PS3 for co-op, but it's amazing how much easier the game and more fun the game is when I can actually shoot what I'm at or hit what I'm aiming at.
Just be the turret class.
Yeah.
Outsource your shooting.
Perhaps. No, I actually am playing the turret class, but no, it's really I didn't realize how much I sucked at playing console shooters until I went back to, you know, trying this on this, and things that previously were, you know, just took me multiple times, I'll be done within like minutes.
Yeah.
That's good, I guess.
But I don't know. I'm about to, I guess, try to rob a train. I just met, is it Tina, the little psychopath child?
Cute little psychopath.
So, that's a really, really weird game.
Yes, indeed.
Understatement of the year.
I feel like it's kind of funny. I think I was talking about this with you, Dennis. It's amazing how good they are at telling stories about the previous game's main characters.
Oh, yeah.
When the previous game's main characters don't just show up.
What do you mean?
Don't they just show up sometimes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. What I mean is, like, in the first game, your main characters, like, had no dialogue to speak of, you know, no relevant dialogue, really no motive, you know, were just kind of there killing things. And now the second game, a lot of it, at least so far, has been, you know, about them. Hmm. Whereas now, again, your main characters for the new main characters are completely flat and really have no back story or, you know, story.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, I'm interested to see when Borderlands 3 comes out if they continue the theme of, you know, not telling a story with your characters until they're
the next game.
Yeah. It's like in, Shadowrun Returns. They have, what's his name from the SNES version? the main characters show up because Returns also takes place in Seattle. And, you know, in the SNES game, he has no dialogue, no nothing, really. You just kind of play him as a cipher. But now he's like a super cool dude with a toad. and it's really, really off-putting.
They jack-toed him.
They jack-toed him. Well, he's already wearing, like, these fucking stupid sunglasses, but, yeah.
Well, at least that, with that model for Borderlands, they can end with a movie, then, of just the previous game's characters.
Oh, no. Like an Ocean's 11 kind of thing?
What do you got against Ocean's 11?
Ocean's 12 and 13.
The city of Las Vegas.
Jaded. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I like Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
And I even like Ocean's 12.
even the Julia Roberts thing?
Gasp, you should.
I like a good meta thing. Like, I thought it was ridiculous at the time, but the fact that they had the balls to do it.
Yeah, that's fine. It's creative. I cannot think of another movie that has done something like that.
Neat. So is that everything you played, David?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Cool. So I will go ahead and do mine. They're relatively short because there's not much to say about any of them. You just kind of have to play them. So the first one, I played this along for the video games hot dog assignment, Contraption Maker, which is a physics puzzle game that was made and developed by the guys who did the Incredible Machine. If anybody ever played that. Cool. So these warm nods of
our
recognition.
Childhood.
Yes, our childhood. There we go. Yeah, you know, the third grade computer lab, right? It was Oregon Trail in this. And when I say this, I mean literally Contraption Maker, because it is an incredible machine-ass, incredible machine game. it's fantastic. I'm really excited about the possibility of user-generated levels. Some of those have been pretty fun. Really hard. I'm a little bit thrown off by the difficulty curve on some of them, but it very much is like, you know, you have a set of starting conditions and a goal and a select number of pieces of Rube Goldberg machine to accomplish what you're going to accomplish. And it's still, you know, 2D. You're looking at it from the side. Like, it really is just the incredible machine. And it was like, it's like a nice little nostalgia blast to play it. And you know, I really appreciate the pace of that, which is just, you know, you can just open it up. And if you just need something to do with your hands in your mind that isn't like otherwise engaged in stuff, like as you're thinking about other things, it's just nice to sit down and try and work on that for a little bit. So that's super cool.
Yeah, that there's usually how to solve the puzzles, or is there usually pretty much like a clear way to do it right?
I'm going to ask you to repeat that again for me, Dennis.
But with a human voice, Mr. Cylon.
Damn it. All right. I got to figure out why this keeps on happening. Anyway.
Say that again, but look me in the eye.
Is it better now? Hello?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
All right, Dennis. You see a turtle walking in the desert. What? And one person got it.
Only because I watched that movie like every 2 weeks. Yeah. Ben, come on.
Wait, right. What movie was this?
He's Chinatown?
He's
Forget about it, Jake. It's no, just a turtle.
That one, too.
And who has Photoshop access?
Oh my God, Ben.
Merry Christmas, guys.
What did you do?
Okay, write that down as quickly as possible. Okay. All right. So, Dennis, since I have to keep all that in, can you repeat what you said?
No idea what the fuck I was talking about.
You were talking about something like, is there a defined way to solve puzzles, or is there freedom around it?
Yeah, there. You, that thing. Go, answer.
Okay, yeah. There's a little bit of leniency. Although, you know, they give you a limited palette of options.
Okay.
Oh, man. Sorry, I'm waking up my goddamn neighbors. All right. So Contraption Maker. We're back. We're good. We're in control. Everything's going to be A-okay. Wow, yeah. But yeah, there's a little bit of leeway just in terms of placement and things, and some of the more open ended puzzles are shockingly more open ended.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty cool. The Steam Winter Sale is on as people are hearing this, and I would recommend people check it out. I think it's on sale. If not, it'll be on like a daily or a flash sale or something. It's super cool, and you'll get it on the ground floor, and you know you'll be part of the bug fixing process and whatnot. In this brave new alpha era.
Gotta love fixing them bugs.
Oh, yeah. Bug life. So anyway, moving on to a much more depressing topic about depression. So I bring this up with some measure of caution because this game affected me in a very real and personal way. So it's called Actual Sunlight. And if you look at the website and even launch the game, it issues a lot of warnings saying like, hey, this game gets pretty real about some pretty like fucked up shit. So if you are a depressive person, maybe don't jump into it. That said, me being a depressive person, I jumped into it, and I don't want to say like which particular reasons why it made me like really just kind of like shook me to my very fucking core. Huh. Because like, you know, I play up my mental issues, like the funny ones, like the laughing haha ones, like watching Chinatown every 2 weeks, you know, because sure. because those don't affect my life. But, you know, just like, I think that everybody, you know, everybody and some people more than others have these various parts of them that are just kind of dark. And, you know, that's not the person you want to be. And actual sunlight is a very, very well written and very apt portrait of, you know, again, especially if you suffer from depression, of where your mind can go and the lies that you tell yourself. Huh. Right. And it makes a nod at that, like, you know, like about a third of the way through. It's an adventure game. Think like Kentucky Route Zero. It was initially an RPG Maker game, but they, you know, they're doing it again in Unity. Has a really cool like silhouette art style. It's 3D. Pretty early on, it says like, hey, you know, I got about this far and I realized people would probably like play this and identify with it. And then it goes on and say, if you're under 25 and you think you don't have any options, I have just these words for you. Don't fucking dare, or don't you fucking dare, or something like that. Which, I don't know, like drawing that line of 25 is pretty, like, if you're 25, you got plenty of time to turn your shit around. Like, and I say this as a depressed person. So,
26 though.
Oh man, you're fucked for life.
You're done.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it continues, like, you know, the it's, I don't know. I don't want to go too far into it, A, because I don't want to spoil it, and B, I don't want to entreat people to play it, because I think that it is a very accurate, you know, like I said, an accurate portrayal of the lies you tell yourself when you're really, really down, either because of a chemical imbalance, because that's just a thing that you have. It's a thing about the physical makeup that you are. But, mm-hmm. You know, it is a much bleaker view of the world than I think that any of us have to accept, no matter what chemical hand we're dealt. And so it's hard for me to say, go play this, just because it does feel like it's, you know, indulging in certain things. However, it is very well written and it's incisive to those things. And so, you know, if you are sure that you are of sound mind and are not going to be swayed by it, you know, maybe check it out. Maybe it's free. It's a beta. But I say this in order to, you know, not recommend it, but say like, hey, if you've come across this, like go into it knowing what it is. Right. Mm-hmm.
Looks would like you... I have my plans for Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, would you say there is merit behind it, or is this kind of gratuitously down, using a word that totally does not do it justice?
Okay. So when it sounds like what you tell yourself, it feels like, oh, this, you know, like there's somebody out there who understands it. But when it's a slightly slightly different flavor of depression than you have, or a slightly different flavor of, you know, like a down view of the world that you have, then it feels like it's depression porn. And so,
gotcha.
So it can speak to you in some very profound ways, like, you know, especially like walking around the dude's apartment and looking at his things and the descriptions that came up around it. It was like, oh, wow, this is kind of the relationship that I have to my surroundings a little bit. And I identified with it. It was kind of like, oh, this is like, you know, kind of both heart-touching and heartbreaking, right? But then it got into like weird stuff about being depressed about corporate America and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, that's just the way the world works. Like, dude, get a fucking grip, you know? So it straddles the line between, you know, having merit and being depression porn, and also being a very well-written portrait. And just being like a minstrel show of misery, which you can't identify with. And it's kind of like, oh, I recognize that all of this is different flavors of being a really shitty person.
It's well, just, being depressed doesn't make you a shitty person. Jesus, Cole.
I know. Feeling like a piece of shit. Like, man. Yeah. So there's that. No, I trust
I was going to say, don't be so hard on yourself.
So these things are not rational. And so,
you
can be as rational of a person as you want, and if you fall prey to these things, it's just your wiring. And you know, you can have any number of strategies and coping and stuff, but there is still this undercurrent, you know, that runs under this face that you present outside. And you know, just if this is, again, if it's not the exact flavor of undercurrent, then you have no tolerance for it, and you're like, just get your fucking life together, dude. Whereas somebody who has that other flavor, who looks at the stuff that like resonates with me, be like, just get your fucking life together, dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, Interesting. You know, in a year of very emotional games, this just kind of seemed to, I don't know, it almost seemed tactless, but that doesn't seem like an accurate word. Yeah. So, I don't know. I played it out of curiosity. I downloaded it several weeks ago when I went into to open beta or whatever that word means. Open demo. And, well, it's the full game, you know, and there were no bugs. So it was like, hey, you know, whatever. And I sat on it for a little while thinking like, hey, do I want to do it? And, you know, I just said like, okay, I'm ready to try it out at the very least. I played it through the very end. Good.
I waited until I was really depressed and then I played it.
Well, the entire story, like mostly is as you examine items in the world or talk with people, there are like little pieces of writing that pop up. And it's like, you know, it's like the screen goes black and then you see. So it's interactive fiction in that regard. And this guy's name is Evan. So it's like, you know, a furniture assembly instructions by Evan, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, step one, drink alone. Step two, realize that maybe this little hex key they gave you maybe isn't enough to put this in together. Step three, realize pieces are missing. Step four, realize nobody's ever going to see this dresser, so it doesn't matter if it's fucked up. Step five, keep drinking.
Huh.
And it's a bunch of stuff like that. Like that goes through and it changes format, you know, and it, you know, tells its story that way. It's very explicit in the way it goes about it, which, you know, as being somebody who prefers, you know, indirect narrative over direct narrative, it was a little bit of a turnoff, but also I like reading, so I read a lot of it. Yeah. So yeah.
What was Actual Sunshine is the name of this game?
Actual Sunlight.
Actual Sunlight. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Uh-huh. So I don't know. Just make sure you're ready for it. It hits home. It's kind of like a Lars von Trier film or something. Except the main character, the person who all the awful stuff is happening to, is not a woman. Yeah. See.
Sorry, women.
Yeah, I'm very sorry, women too. Just like for all the shit, I am sorry, women. But moving on to brighter, sunnier realms. Walking Dead season 2.
Okay, I'm not.
No, Walking Dead season 2.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's out, man. It's out and it's here.
I will play it in a year.
That's okay. So I obviously you thought it was worth picking up episode number 1, and I guess this game has the goodwill that I can see investing you know, right up front. But I could never see myself buying an episodic game before all the episodes were out. Like, season pass to me seems to be the way to go.
I don't know. I think that it matters. Like, I think it depends on how much you're bought into it.
Okay.
So with Breaking Bad, I watched the first two seasons on like a DVD binge, and then I decided it would be enough. I like this enough, and I'm compelled enough, and I trust myself. I trust that I will not be patient enough to wait to see what happens next. That I will just watch this week to week. So from season 3 onward, I just watched it whenever a new episode came out, knowing that at the, you know, like when it ended, it would be basically a big cock tease waiting to get me to the next one. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm kind of along for the ride, and I feel like I'm participating in some kind of huge metagame about it, which A is, you know, like not talking about it on social networks, you know,
yeah.
In order to not spoil things. And don't worry, if you're listening to this, I'm not going to spoil shit for you, like aside from what is already apparent when you launch the game, essentially. Good.
All right. What, no, what? Nothing.
No, go ahead.
I feel like there's always, well, I don't know.
I say I'm not going to spoil things, I always tacitly spoil things.
Yeah. Not going to spoil Citizen Kane, but it is his sled, you know?
So I'm going to be especially careful just because I know this is something that people really, really hold dear. That's where I approach it. And again, I played Walking Dead season 1, you know, week to week because of the awesome reputation it gained from episode 1, even though looking back on it, the first episode probably didn't like merit as much, you know, fevered zeal as it would earn later on. Like, you know, I couldn't see people being as excited about the transition from episode 1 to episode 2 of season 1 as I was about, like, you know, 4 to 5. So it was, like, only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of occupies a little bit of that same place. You know, this is a, you know, in baseball they call it a rebuilding year, right? So,
sure, yeah.
You know, bare facts, Brass Tacks, blah, blah, blah. You're playing as Clementine, which we discussed earlier on the show. Like, that's actually a thing. You're continuing the story and the group from season one.
You're actually playing as her?
Yes, yes. So you're no longer Lee. You're Clem. And you just better hope that the decisions you made regarding Clem in season one pay off. And that's really all I'm going to say.
So it does Mass Effect it.
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
So yeah, and you know, just there are the requisite amounts of heartbreak. I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying there's heartbreak in a Walking Dead game. But you know, it's
I thought this was going to be a happy season, Cole.
Damn it. They were going to find the cure, and they were going to go back and find all their old friends, and they were going to drink root beer, and it was going to be sunny. Yeah, no, it's down, but yeah, like they're introducing a lot of new characters, which a new season would indicate new characters, which is something
you have to have someone to kill off.
Exactly, right? Yeah. It's something they do in the comic book series a lot, and also in the television show, is like you meet these new characters and they're given names, and you think, why should I care about you, or why should I be invested in you? Your value as a narrative device hasn't been demonstrated, and also like I don't like you enough to worry about whether you live or die,
right?
Or to get invested in hope that you don't die, right?
I feel like the beginning of the season is sort of like, I don't know if they actually do this in college or whatever, but you know the whole like you get to the first year of college, it's like, look to your right, look to your left, only one of you will be here by the, I feel like that's what the beginning of the season is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially with Walking Dead, when literally anybody can die. So yeah, that's all I'm going to say about the narrative. I would recommend playing it just because they've proven they know what they're doing. But the interface is a little bit better, like the item switching and command switching. You're no longer, at least on the PC, switching commands by using the mouse wheel. You're actually like, you have like a little radial menu that pops up, which is a huge improvement. Like, I didn't find myself wishing for a gamepad at all. Even when I tried a gamepad, I found myself preferring mouse and keyboard, and gamepad was fine, but they, at the very least, they addressed that concern. But yeah, Walking Dead season 2.
Do they give you any more time for dialogue choices this time around? Because that really killed me the first, at least what I played of the first one.
They don't take the time limit away. I can't say whether they give you more or less time.
I know. Like, at least in the first one, like, I often didn't even have time to read the dialogue options.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they want that. They want you to go for the one that's, like, gut.
Well, I agree with David. There were a couple instances where it's like I couldn't even read all the options. So maybe is it ableist? I don't know, that's a word to throw out there. But like, you know, if you can't read as fast as some people can, you almost need an option on that game to be able to, read everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that adds to the tension a little bit, and just everybody reads in a different way. It doesn't bother me because I scan and then read for detail. So, like, if I see "oh shit" and I feel like saying "oh shit," I'm going to say "oh shit."
Yeah, sure.
See, for me, it was always, I think of what I want to say. I read it and it's not on the list. Therefore, I need to analyze which of these options is closest to what I actually want to say.
And "oh shit," I'm bit. Yeah. But yeah, that's Walking Dead Season 2. I feel very hesitant to say any more. So why don't we get to the multiplayer?
Nice.
Yeah.
Sure.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer question, where in this last episode of the year of 2013, we ask you, hey, what game stuck out this year for you? I'm not going to call it a game of the year discussion because that seems presumptuous. To at least a small degree, and I would rather us take this moment to pause and reflect and say, hey, what am I grateful that I played? Right,
it's Roger a moment that. Of reflection.
Yeah, I
it's
think
just
that,
a reflection.
It's a contemplative time, right? In these darkest of longest of nights, our minds turn to the quiet and the sacred. And the games.
And the video games.
Forget it, Jake. It's just a turtle. See? It's so good. So, we put the question to you on Facebook, and I navigated away from the page on Facebook.
I've got two answers on Twitter and one on my personal Facebook page.
Oh, shit. So. Give us some of them twits.
Yeah, I will.
That's not a nice name to call our listeners.
So first off, Gary Butterfield, friend of the show, friend of the network, co-host on the network, all around great dude, says, "Gone Home in a Walk reminded me what teenage love felt like. Scary and unironic with no sense of diminished expectations." It's a lot of good thoughts in a tweet.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling that Gone Home is going to show up again a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so. then I'll just get the other tweet out of the way. Actually, this is a non-answer from Phil Holmes, who says, "I'm having a hard time mostly because I haven't bought many games that came out this year." That would be a requirement, so... Stuff. Although, David, I think your answer will probably be a game that did not come out this year. So we can say that's all right. Doesn't have to come out this year. You just have to have played it this year.
I mean, you know, like if one wants to treat this as a goatee, then you know if the Venn diagram overlaps and I was grateful to have played this and it came out in 2013, then yeah, treat it like that. However, you know, if you discovered something new, I think that is perfectly fair.
Mm-hmm. Wait, we're treating it like a goatsy?
No.
Nope.
No, I think that's a bit of a stretch. But
God damn it.
We're punchy tonight. We're on fire.
Okay. That's the twits.
What about the Facebook one? Let's just get yours.
Oh yeah, sure.
All your secret ones out of the way.
Guess I'll bear the weight of this podcast.
Jeez, I've got a contact form one.
Oh well, put this on Otto Dennis.
On Otto Dennis.
No, I gotta make up for lost time. So
do it.
Murph Murphy says on not Level Facebook page but mine, which is odd. I try to friend
which is better.
Yeah, I try to friend the people that that interact with the show because they're all awesome people. So that's cool. But Murph says Gone Home has all the feels and was one of my favorite experiences of 2013. I don't think it's video game Citizen Kane, but it definitely broke a lot of new ground in terms of what a game could be about. Mm-hmm. Honorable mention goes to The Last of Us. Good story. It's AAA Walking Dead.
Yeah.
There you go. Cole, you were right.
it's going to keep showing up, mm-hmm. I think.
I think so.
Yeah. So let's look at what Sean says via the contact form. "I'm a casual gamer. Between Steam sales and the Humble Bundles through 2013, I have a roster of games, both AAA and independent titles. I have a backlog of titles to try for years. The one thing that got me this year, though, was when I played The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds. Was when The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds was announced. Hit me right in the 90s heart, and it got me looking forward to a new title I could like, a new title like I could not believe. The game got me to get a new 3DS because my right shoulder button was shot. I blazed through and beat the main storyline faster than I've played any other game. I haven't gone back and 100%ed it yet, but the gameplay and the sheer joy of that game made me feel so great. The graphics were fun, the additional mobility granted by the game, the procurement of the weapons, and the openness of the dungeons just hit a great, nice spot. IMO, a must-play for anyone who has a 3DS. Thanks again for a great podcast and a great 2013. Looking to hearing you all in 2014. So yeah, Sean, I feel a little bit remiss in that I haven't played any of this game in 2013, at least for the podcast. It looks ballin' as hell, and also you have a Kingdom of Loathing avatar in places where I see you, so that's cool. But yeah,
Sean's an all right guy.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll keep him.
He does okay.
He does all right by me. Yeah. No, so yeah, so Link Between Worlds, so good.
Mm-hmm.
According to Sean, I can't say because I haven't played it.
Lacker,
we're a trusting bunch.
Yeah, you know. Hey, David, why don't you read Robert Noakes?
Sure. Robert says Dark Souls.
Oh, man. One second. Actually, I found my bell, you guys.
There it is.
Hey, there we are.
In all seriousness, I'm going to have to say Gunpoint. Sadly, I haven't bought much this year and played even less due to a crippling Dark Souls addiction.
Yeah.
What's Gunpoint?
I feel like that's going on. Gunpoint is you're a private eye who's trying to infiltrate buildings. However, this is the one where you can jump 30 feet straight up, right?
As detectives do.
Yeah. So you do a nice little satisfying snap jump kind of thing.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. And you don't take fall damage. So it's basically what ends up being is as you're infiltrating the building, you'll end up getting spotted by a guard, but all you have to do is grab them and jump out the eighth story window or whatever.
Yeah,
nice.
Watch the a gameplay video from it, and it's much more entertaining than that explanation sounds.
Yeah, the real sauce behind it. So it's kind of like a silhouetted 2D platformer kind of thing. Except you have a gun that can let you rewire levels. So
okay, I wasn't sure if this was the same one. So
yeah, that's the one. So I feel remiss in not playing it. I just checked to make sure. There's so many games that I buy when I'm drunk. I was wondering if this was one of them, and it's on my wish list still, so I haven't bought it yet. But for some reason,
I'm just imagining a vendor outside of a bar that just has video games to try and get people to buy them when they're still allowed in the bar.
Yes, that's exactly what we have. We just call it Steam.
Yeah, exactly. No. But you have a gun that's so you wire. This isn't a real example, but you can wire a generator to an elevator button. And so whenever a patrolling guard goes up and hits that button, they'll get shocked and knocked out or killed, deadified.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
I think you can also, do the lights in order to mess with them and just,
So it's, a really cool stealth game. It looks really neat. It was also made entirely in Game Maker, which is shocking given how complex it is. But
wow.
Nice. Yeah. Same thing with Hotline Miami. That was a Game Maker game as well.
Very nice.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, Ben, what's Truman say?
Truman says Bioshock Infinite. It seems to have become fashionable to hate it with assertions that the combat was bad or it shouldn't have been a shooter, but I personally found the combat entertaining through the entirety of the game, and I believe that the violence was integral to the story.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, I think that Bioshock Infinite was the backlash victim of the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That happens with all things that come out early in the year, same thing with movies too, whatever.
Wait, so when you say backlash, what do you mean?
No, I just mean so this is a very highly anticipated game that is AAA. Obviously it's going to sell gangbusters, right? So as people play it and they're ready to move on to the next big thing, obviously there's only a certain amount of positive feeling you can have in this world. So before I like the next huge thing that I'm anticipating, I have to decide that I hate something I thought was awesome before. So I can free up, any good feelings that I ever have. All right.
Yeah.
So, people decide hey, this thing that I maybe liked or maybe thought was okay or was worth my time or was interesting. They say, hey, this was complete bullshit and write it off entirely. And that is.
It's interesting how it's become fashionable to just, hate swarm certain games.
That's always been the way, though.
Yeah, I mean, it always has. But there's such a pretension behind it now that I feel like there wasn't necessarily before. It's almost like a hipster attitude of what's the mainstream thing that we're going to hate today.
It's just easier to hear all of it. I don't even know if it's hipsterism or, irony or anything. Man, I've been reading a lot of don't even get me started on negativity versus positivity. That's the very reason why the Friday the 13th article hasn't come out. Just don't be prepared to hate things. That's all I ask. That is all I ask in this world.
It's the gaming community's equivalent of a lynching. It's like, hey, we're going to do this thing. We'll all feel better. Okay.
Let's cool it here, okay? Let's cool it with that. I mean, just do, you know. Yeah. Like there are valid criticisms that, you know, bruises turn into tumors, right? Like, yeah. Like, yeah, maybe I spent too much time blowing people's heads off in this game. But Truman's kind of right. The violence served a pretty good purpose in the story.
What do you think the violence...
He said it. He said, I'm not going to go any further beyond that. But like, what you know about the characters involved, you know, says more than enough about what goes on here.
We can just save it for that spoiler cast that we will do.
That we'll do on the year anniversary of it coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
We'll do a spoiler cast right as the spoiler limit comes off.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think we're about ready for a spoiler cast on Beyond Two Souls as well.
What?
Ah, no, that was only like two weeks ago.
whenever Ben finishes or is done with the game.
I don't think we can do a spoiler. Like, I don't know. I think you should probably finish it if we're gonna do a spoiler cast.
Can I watch a Let's Play?
It's the same thing. It's the same thing, Dennis.
I love
what the fuck are you? What the fuck are you talking about?
You just searched for the video of the decision you want.
Play this game. Yeah.
I got it through GameFly. GameFly did a free month, and so it was like a free month of GameFly. It's okay. A month rental.
Well,
of Beyond Two Souls.
I can lend you the fucking game.
Oh, do you own it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. All right.
Wait, you buy games, Cole?
I know, it's bizarre, right? It's such a notion.
You should steal games. It's actually a pretty good gig.
It's pretty sweet. You don't pay, and you get a bunch of shit.
And you get to get drunk while you're doing it. It's
awesome. It's awesome.
That's what you steal.
Yeah.
Cole, I don't know if I told you this, but I know I told either David or Ben this, that you will be returned Saints Row the Third simultaneously with having Saints Row the Fourth stolen. I've decided.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no.
that's how this is going
to
work.
That's fine. So I always need to have this, I always need to have that leg up on you.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I just, I'll give you Saints Row the Fourth if you give me Saints Row the Third. That is.
No, you can't. You cannot give me it.
Okay, so I'll place it in a position where you can grab it easily.
Yeah. And if you hear me, you know, doing like dun dun dun, yeah. I'm super drunk.
Yeah.
You'll know what's coming out.
Yeah. Remember, you have to yell yoink as you take it.
I think I'm gonna do like. Sorry to make you feel left out, Ben. I think I'm gonna do another like get together party thing here pretty soon because that is fun. And. Yeah, but looking at this here, I want somebody to tell me what somebody present, we're not just reading their responses for. David, we alluded to your response earlier, saying it wasn't quite from this year, but I'd be interested to hear what that is.
Sure. Well, I guess I'll say just in brief. I think if I was doing one game of the year or whatever, it probably would be either Bioshock Infinite or Far Cry 3, if Far Cry 3 came out this year. I don't know.
That was last year, yeah.
That was year. Okay, so
it
would
came
probably
out this year.
No, that was last December.
Okay, I just
okay. So it would probably be Bioshock Infinite, but actually, I think mine for game that stood out would probably be Spec Ops: The Line.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. you're okay. Go ahead.
You're allowed to continue.
Yes, I will not eject you from this call.
Wait, is Spec Ops The Line 2 years old yet?
It came out in 2012.
Wait, okay. So is that being vetoed? Is that what's happening?
No. I was just how much are we going to play with this?
No. Thing? Okay, so the reason that I'm like reticent about that, and the reason why I say like, it's like that is the game that I'm most grateful that I've played this year. Like, I think that I got like it impacted me in a huge way. Not just because we, talked to Jorg, which was really, really cool. Go listen to that bonus episode if you get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But just because it was great. And it felt like a game about video games in a way that I like games about video games. Yeah. And I don't want to steal too many of your points, but I very much resonate with you on that, David.
Yeah. I feel like in a lot of ways, like you said, I don't know. It was a game that was very meaningful, or whatever you want to say. You know what I mean. It was a very good game. I, Yeah, I also, it was, you know, playing through it, having the experience, it was also enjoyable is not the correct word exactly, because obviously it was a game that was
not supposed to be enjoyable.
Well, and it in a lot of ways was enjoyable, but you know what I mean, like the
it was smooth.
Right, and right? Just the overall,
it was a unique experience in comparison to other shooter games.
Well, and I guess also, I don't know,
it was well executed.
Now, I guess why I say is this. I
guess what is misthought.
You're psychic. No,
a witch.
I don't. I've never understood why people play survival horror games or watch horror movies, because to me, fear is overtly a negative emotion, and I don't understand why one would want that.
You should read Hex Crank.
And I feel like, playing Spec Ops: The Line was probably the closest I've ever come to that, mm-hmm. in terms of it being something where the experience was all about negative emotions, but at the same time was kind of a positive experience. Sort of. Does that kind of make sense?
It you know, for me, it was a gut check on my like on my emotions about violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, like it's not an especially hard question to ask yourself, which I think is why it's so satisfying. Like, hey, it's kind of fucked up the shit we do all the time, but right. yeah.
And the other thing, the probably the most interesting thing I'd say is, and this might just be weird, but it is something weird that stuck with it, is I still can't use fire weapons in games.
Really?
Huh.
Like I
after the scene,
yeah, like yeah. Like straight up like yeah. I don't roll spellcasters anymore. I don't know, like that's obviously like incredibly silly and trivial, but it's just something that like bothers me a lot now.
Yeah.
Huh.
So here's something weird about Spec Ops that I didn't know when I was looking up the release date to make sure I was right about that thing I said about it coming out in 2012. Apparently, the game that preceded it, like the one that was canceled, that was more in the Spec Ops line of games, it was kind of juking towards this. It was being developed by Rockstar Vancouver, and the soundtrack was being assembled by Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, which... coincidentally, album of the year 2013, the Light Clockwork from Queens of the Stone Age. Holy shit!
Huh?
Yeah. Nice. Weird. Back in 2003, like right after Songs for the Deaf. So yeah, now I need to scramble for one. So
you kids are allowed to have the same thing.
That's true. But if, you know, so we got to bring some uniquitude to it, right? So I'll read Christopher Schlees as I try and reconnoiter my thoughts here. Oh wait, it's not my turn, but I'll read it anyway because I'm already embarked. It's really late, but I'll answer anyway. Gone Home. Sure, it's not long or too much of a game, but it's probably the best story in a game that I've experienced in years. I'll give an honorable mention to Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, which could win just based on nothing but its subtitle, A Machine for Pigs. Sure, it has its issues and the lack of some stuff that helped make The Dark Descent as terrifying as it was, as well as some of the writing that was pretty all over the place and unsure of what it wanted to actually do. But I enjoyed the hell out of unraveling it. All issues aside, I still love the hell out of it. I'm really sorry and sad that I didn't play Amnesia: A Machine for Pigs before the.
Oh, you still haven't played it?
Still haven't played it, man. I've wanted, so I've wanted to guarantee that I would have an uninterrupted, like stretch of time to play it all in one go.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you saving it for the podcast? The level A Machine for Pigs?
Man, well, we already did that. No, I'm saving it for the sequel to The Level A Machine for Pigs, which is The Level A Machine for Pigs, Pigs.
recursive.
Yeah. I really like unraveling as the verb for horror games.
Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're not playing them. You're unraveling them. Mm-hmm. That feels really right to me.
Yeah.
That's good.
Very appropriate.
I'm unraveling Silent Hill 3 right now. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's such a good game. I'm really.
Oh, I'm not actually unraveling it. I was just using it as an example.
Oh, okay. is that one of your backlog? Like, no. I was like, oh, we're gonna talk about Silent Hill 3 soon. I'm so happy about this.
No, I do need to get to it though.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
good.
The holidays.
He was actually just trying to crush your hopes.
Yeah.
I gotta finish Silent Hill 1 first.
Here's a question, Dennis. Why do you build me up, Buttercup?
just to let you down, Charlie Brown? I don't know.
I forget. I don't think Charlie Brown has anything to do with it.
He does now.
Ben, how about you? What are you grateful for?
What am I grateful for?
I forget games. This year, so stuff that you've played, are you like, oh man, this has really enriched my life in some way?
Usually I don't even think about it as far as like enriching my life. Usually I just think of it as like, I guess it's the problem is I don't have a computer that's good enough to run indie games. So I don't get any of the cool experiences. I just get like console, whatever. Doesn't matter. My reflection of it was inspired by a Reddit article, which may turn into a future game or a level question, which was, if you could combine any two games, what would you combine?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And so I was kind of thinking about that with current games. And I think if BioShock Infinite, the writing in that, and the execution of The Last of Us could have a love child, then that would be like the perfect video game. As far as games go, the ones that really stick out in my mind are the really giant monoliths of games. So Grand Theft Auto V, Last of Us, and BioShock Infinite. And of those, I have a hard time kind of figuring out which one I would like the best.
Yeah. They're all so good.
Yeah.
The only one, Ben.
And they're all pretty different. Yeah. BioShock Infinite, the writing is, I think, is really good. I feel like it is the inception of video games of what I've seen so far. And Grand Theft Auto V was just a tremendous undertaking, and I don't know, that's such a, like, a beefy game, and like I don't know, it's just amazing to think that that's pretty much like a virtual world, you know? You can play that game and you can have a pretty good understanding of what actual LA is like, you know? Mm-hmm. And like That's like an incredible feeling, because I remember this when playing Grand Theft Auto 4, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before, but like the first time I went to New York and went to the Met, I was like, oh, I've been here before. I was in Grand Theft Auto 4, you know? And, you know, so that's such a surreal feeling, and that's pretty powerful that a game can do that, you know? Yeah. That can give you a similar impression that real life can.
Say what you will about anything from a Grand Theft Auto game, like, you can't assail the world, I don't think.
Yeah. And The Last of Us was just a beautiful, beautiful game. Like, it's hard to think of like a weak point in that game. So that was just a very, very well done game. So, so yeah, I really like those three games.
Yeah. I dig. Why don't you read Geolaws, Ben?
Yeah.
Since we're in the rotation.
So Gilal says, most of the games I've enjoyed this year actually came out last year or earlier. Therefore, my standout thing of the year is Humble Bundle, which I can totally second.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know they've been around for a while now, but they've really stepped up their game in 20 Dirt.
To 2013, you got to dig it.
With more sales, more big names, and now the weekly sale too. In the past year, I've exploded my games library, played more current-ish games than I normally do on my budget, and embraced my role in the glorious PC Master Race.
Don't even start, David.
Honorable mention goes to the Stanley Parable.
If you start, David, then Gary's gonna start, and I can't have that.
He goes on to say, honorable mention goes to the Stanley Parable, which way outdid my expectations in terms of improving on the original mod, and also Unity, because I enjoyed the ability to play awesome little game jam games through my browser.
All over the place there. It's shocking how, you know, the Humble Bundle's been around for, what, 4 years now? Like, 2009 was the first one. Yeah, long time. But it's just become this clearinghouse where you can just get these awesome, like, more games than you could ever play. Let's be honest here.
We should probably promote, like, the current Humble Bundle.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty good, too, right
yeah.
now.
What's on now?
They have Little Inferno.
Yeah, Little Inferno and Gemini Rue are the headliners for me.
See, yeah. Does Little Inferno eventually become something that's not obvious it is?
Yeah, it has a turn.
Okay, because looking at it, it looks like just kind of a... just kind of a weird
fireplace
puzzle
sim.
Game.
yeah. No, I and I think that's intentional. It doesn't forgive any sins, but I think that they know what they're doing.
Okay. We should say that provided if this podcast comes out in 11 days, then the listener can purchase this.
Because yeah, this is coming out tomorrow as we're recording this. So
nice. Yeah. All right, cool. So 10 days.
10 days.
It's yep. like an extended version of The Ring.
But yeah, exactly. but yeah, just, you know, I don't know. I get those emails from Humble, and it's like $5 for like 14 games. Okay.
Twist my arm, why don't you?
And most of my backlog is stuff from the Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
It's real crazy. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay. and it's not really like $5. It's like, you know, 15 or 20 or whatever their recommended one is. I don't know. I'm a grown ass.
Something
fan,
else.
Memes.
I feel like
make it rain for EFF.
Maybe this is just thing I've been dealing with a class on user interfaces, but also the Humble Bundle website is quite possibly one of the best design websites
oh,
I've
it's
ever
so
seen.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that? Just out of curiosity.
Just really, really user friendly. In particular, like the splitting of the. This maybe isn't the most important, but is what stood out is, you know, splitting how you want the money to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is just really, really user friendly, and that could be something that was really annoying. And mm-hmm. you know, just the options, you know, they have the different default splits you can choose between, and you can mm-hmm. you know save a custom split and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't put a lot of nonsense in between you and the information about what you want to learn about.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say the Humble Bundle, like maybe not as game of the year, but like as like continually proving itself to be a movement of the year.
Thing of the year.
Yeah, thing of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say movement of the year might not be a great title.
for the show or for...
anything.
Yeah. Dennis, how about you? Game of the year, what up?
Yeah, well, they've both been mentioned before, so I feel justified in mentioning them again. But it's a toss-up for me between Gone Home and The Last of Us. And as I was thinking about it, I think I'm going to go with The Last of Us. And I feel kind of dirty for my reason why. And it's the multiplayer, which it almost feels like cheating to talk about multiplayer between, you know, The Last of Us and Gone Home, because
it's not apples to apples.
Yeah, no, like
those other human beings.
There is no world in which multiplayer for Gone Home is, that would be the worst.
Any joke I could make here is a spoiler for Gone Home, so I can't make it.
Yeah, but just like that would be, that is a fundamentally, structurally always going to be a bad idea. So it's I'm not, by talking about the multiplayer in The Last of Us, I am not saying that is something that Gone Home should replicate or, you know, should be compared to it on. But the thing that did stand out to me is that is the first, multiplayer online game that I've played that actually functions the way that the developers intended it to. You know, every other online game I've played is really just a very isolated experience in that, yeah, you're on a team with other people, but unless you're in a clan that's really serious, you're kind of playing on your own and everyone else is ambient and you're just kind of, you know, shooting and screaming into a mic if you have one. Generally, there's no communication that is not racial slurs and every other, you know, filthiest thing on the earth. Mm-hmm. And coming into The Last of Us multiplayer was just so different. You know, it first off, the pace of the play is so much slower. Mm-hmm. It's so much more considered. And you really, really, excuse me, cannot succeed without working as a team.
Yeah, they basically achieve what Left 4 Dead does in a multiplayer format.
Even Left 4 Dead, though.
Left 4 Dead is multiplayer.
Well, oh yeah. I mean, in a deathmatch.
Competitive format.
That's okay. A non-Left 4 Dead deathmatch.
Okay. Even Left 4 Dead, though, I feel like there's a lot of leeway for just kind of going out on your own, and like you can kind of wander off and still get back to the group and be fine. Whereas
Unless
this
you're
one,
Jala.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Jala? But so the level of teamwork that I saw from complete random strangers, the level of courtesy that I saw from complete random strangers, in terms of good communication, tactical communication, and then also I'll never forget one of the people you know, I was in the lobby with and was saying something was faggy or something like that. And I was like, you know, I was just like, hey, maybe not so much that word. And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry, dude, my bad. And did not cuss for the rest of the match.
Holy shit.
And that blew my mind. I can't believe that actually happened. And so, yeah, it is, I mean, you know, at its core, it's team deathmatch, right? So it's nothing that we haven't seen before. And yet it is completely different and completely better than anything that we've seen before.
Yeah.
On top of that, I think, you know, the single player obviously had an amazing story. That again, it's not apples to apples with Gone Home, but I think had the same level of intent behind it, had the level of impact behind it that is comparable. So yeah, I have to go with The Last of Us.
Yeah,
and I just to piggyback on you, I do think it's amazing that the company. I mean, Uncharted were good games, but they were not games that. I mean, they were quite campy. You know, they were very much Indiana Bruins. Like, but to see, but to see like the company like mature and grow that much into like a more serious storyline. You know, like that was very impressive.
Yeah, it was.
It's bizarre to say it's more restrained when it's literally about the end of the world.
Yeah, but it's not. That's the thing. It involves the end of the world, but it stays small, which is great.
Yep.
So yeah, that's me.
Yeah, for real. Wow, that's good stuff. Cool. So let's see here, David. Why don't you read Quentin?
Quinn says, most games I've been playing came out in the past couple years, so all I can say are games like Monster Hunter 3U, which I just started playing, Demon's Souls, and Dark Souls. Although Animal Crossing New Leaf has indeed been a virtual Zen garden for me and my wife, and Mario and Luigi Dream Team has captured a good bit of RPG goodness I've been missing. So in answer, I guess I don't have one. I'm just glad there are so many great titles out that I can choose from them all. What a great time for games, am I right?
Yeah.
He's lording Monster Hunter over me. I want to play that so bad.
is that a 3DS? Oh, no, it's a Wii U game, yeah.
Yeah, it's... Nintendo systems basically have a monopoly on it, I believe, in the US.
Maybe. I think that they made the jump from PSP to Nintendo like that. I think that both so the Wii U's approaching it, like Super Mario 3D World looks really, really tempting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what am I thinking of here? Like the 3DS especially has reached the saturation point where like I would have no reservations about like telling somebody, hey, get this thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, if I was not, you know, being a poor starving college student, I would definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I think it's legitimate now. Mm-hmm.
Didn't they just do Nintendo Direct? Was there new cool stuff for 3DS there?
I didn't see too much, honestly. Like, all that I heard was, like, Dynasty Warriors Zelda, and that just kind of came across as white noise. But
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I would buy a Zelda game in the Dynasty Warriors series.
But would you buy a Wii U to play the Zelda game?
Would you buy a Dynasty Warriors game in the Zelda series?
If they made a Zelda game in the Dynasty Warriors series the same way they've done with, like, Gundam and One Piece, I would definitely buy a Wii U.
You might be buying a Wii U, friend.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. So I didn't mean to give myself the last word. That's a pretty shitty thing to do.
It's allowed. It's allowed.
It's allowed. So
it better be good, though.
And like, none of it's new, so it's not good.
Yeah.
Like... But looking at this, so David, you know, he bit my steez on the spec ops. So I feel the need to categorize, and like, of, you know, games I played for the first time this year that came out, you know, relatively recently but not quite this year, spec ops was one. I will have to say that, having played Dishonored for Watch Out for Fireballs, I am fucking enamored of this game, guys. Like,
really?
I don't mean to spoil that shit, but it is so good. Like,
I'm like half a mission into it. So
yeah,
good.
Oh,
good to hear.
God, yeah, no. for forget your instinct to like autosave and like be a perfectionist. Just fucking go for it.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Wait. This is Dishonored.
This is Dishonored. Yeah. Sorry.
You can't tell, but I'm looking at you incredulously.
Yeah. I think that that's a really good game, and I'm very happy that even though it did not come out this year, I've played it this year. So, there's that. In the indie game,
I second David's sentiment.
That's fine. That's fine. I just want to tell you guys you're wrong. No.
I'm staying out of this one.
That is not the case. That is not the case. It is very sensitive to the way you play it, which is not meant to say you guys played it wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm really not. Like if you like, so I think that that's why I didn't find purchase with it, is because I started playing it wrong. Like, wrong for me, wrong for my temperament. But like, yeah. There's enough variance, and it gives you enough leeway that you'll find a way to play it that does satisfy your temperament.
I've played it as a rat killing sim. Every time I see a rat, it's a compulsion.
I think that's wise. So yeah, there's that. So in the old games category, I would say Spec Ops and Dishonored, thumbs, like, two thumbs way fucking up. You know, indie games, like, does. Gone Home, obviously, is really, really emotionally appealing. The Stanley Parable, intellectually appealing to me. Like, again, as somebody who likes video games about video games, Stanley Parable, Dennis, check your inbox.
Yeah, no, thank you. I was about to say I will be playing that shortly.
Yeah, but I think between the two of those, I, you know, for all of my posturing, I'm a more emotional person than an intellectual person. For indie games, Gone Home, fuck yeah. And in AAA games, The Last of Us, just because, yes, survival horror, yes, just like an awesome tone and awesome soundtrack, fucking gorgeous and beautiful, and raises, you know, as many ethical questions as a AAA game can raise. Yeah. So I definitely, skirted around the requirement of actually making a decision by separating this
five
out
answers.
Into multiple different things. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I just think that it is a great time to be a person who likes video games.
Yeah, damn straight.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. Thank you, everybody, for answering. We already know what the next multiplayer question is going to be, since our first episode is going to be after the beginning of the year. We're going to check in on those New Year's resolutions we had last year. Mm-hmm. What do we say? Like, hey, 2013, we're going to do this thing. I need to go back and listen to that episode. This was suggested by Geoloth.
I actually broke my strict rule of never listening to an episode.
Ooh.
in order to go back and figure out what my New Year's resolution had been.
And ironically, your resolution was to never listen to an episode.
That was a neat trap we set up, wasn't it, Ben?
Dang it! No, yeah, I know.
We'll talk about it next episode, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about it next episode. So that was suggested by Geo Law Lawton, Jeffrey Geo Dude, Jeffrey Dude.
I
feel like this nickname is getting more and more complicated.
Oh man. So that was suggested there. Just, you know, and it's hard to participate in, like, especially if you didn't, like, write in with the last one. But just think, like, hey, what did I say I was going to do last year that I did or didn't do? And we will probably read your thing out loud.
Or they could make new resolutions.
Yeah. So that is perfectly fine as well.
Because then we can ask them about it next year. Mm-hmm. We need material for next year, Cole.
Yes, we do.
We have to play the long game.
Yep. Yeah, now that 2013 is over, I don't think there's any point in continuing the show. We're pretty much out of material.
Yeah, no. This is the last episode of the level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not making, any new video games.
Right? No.
No.
I mean, we are relying on Chinatown and Blade Runner references. So.
there's only so much there.
Also crack cocaine.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's that.
So, yeah, if you want to participate in any of these discussions, if you can figure out what these discussions the fuck are, it's just facebook.com/thelevelpodcast or duckfeed.tv/contact. You guys want to button it up?
Oh, it's Christmas. Let's button it up.
Oh, it's a miracle. God bless us one and all.
You should ring your bell so an angel gets its wings. Oh,
I'm going to wake up my neighbors. It is literally 1:00 in the morning. Okay. Let's look at it. What's that?
Where are you at?
I am in Hyde Park. Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay, because it is not literally 1:00 in the morning there.
It's just
okay,
rounding up.
Okay, so whatever dictionary we actually rely on has changed the definition of literally to mean figuratively. So yeah. All bets are off. You guys know about that, right?
Yeah. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, no. So you're contradicting yourself just like that definition. So I use that for comedy. I say it's literally blah. Like, I will say it is literally unique, which that doesn't make any sense at all as a sentence, but it's funny. However, no words mean anything anymore. We are living in a postmodernist hell. We are standing on shifting sands that will eventually consume us, and our bones will bleach in the sun.
Literally.
Merry Christmas. Man, I missed this.
Yeah. So,
if you missed this, there's plenty more where that came from in our backlog. That is duckfeed.tv/thelevel, where you can find old episodes of the show. It's pretty
of note,
cool.
The interviews with Jorg from Spec Ops and
the Gone Home episode.
Yeah. The Gone Home episode, yes. And then with Ryan Green and Josh Larson of That Dragon Cancer.
I was looking at that because I was like, oh man, I haven't bawled openly. when I was playing Actual Sunlight, I was like, I haven't bawled openly since I played that, so let me go look at their website to see where they're at. They actually quoted us as press.
Nice. Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, look at the actual quote.
I mean, I'm sure it could have. I don't think there was a single happy quote in that interview. Yeah.
I did not know this. This is awesome.
Yeah, let me look here. It's pretty funny. Let's see here. A stunning piece of video game right up there with Dear Esther, Cole Ross, The Level.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. Hey, why not, right? Thanks, guys. No, go listen to those. And, you know, we hope to bring you more of those in 2014. I would like to give a special thanks to Dennis, who is pursuing those, as I am remiss in not pursuing those.
Yeah, I have high tolerance for annoying people until they do what I want. So keep that up. If you guys are interested in hearing from anyone in particular, you can direct my unique talents, as you will. And I'll try to get, who people are interested in hearing from.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a whole wide world of these crazy indie titles we never expected coming out. As we said, we are living in a golden age for all media. You have no hope of ever seeing everything that is good in this world. Shifting sands, bones bleaching, whatnot. But yeah, we said the Facebook thing. We said the show. If you're doing any belated Christmas shopping, it's Amazon.com/, or sorry, not Amazon.com. It is duckfeed.tv/tipjar. Use that Amazon link. You all been killing it recently, which is great. That'll help pay for all of our blog hosting for next year, which is great. Yeah, I really enjoy that you guys are doing that. Hex Crank. We're going to have a new article coming out here pretty quick about Friday the 13th. That is our survival horror blog, or my, rather. When I say our, I mean my. Yeah. And if you hear from them, my brother and me, let us know. Am I missing out on anything, guys?
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas, yeah. Please.
Or
please,
Happy Merry Holidays.
Christmas. Yes. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I think that whatever denomination or religion or whatever you can have, I think all of us can get behind. Like, enjoy some time with your family and try and be safe, because those are both good things.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Until you spent like 2 days with your family. And
yeah,
then...
yeah. And
at that point, be dangerous.
Awesome, guys. Well, I've had an awesome time recording this. We'll be back next year. Which sounds like a really long time away, but we're not going to record something on Christmas Eve because fuck that noise. But we'll be back. Oh, man. So in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I am at Cole Ross. That's KOLERoss on Twitter.
I am at D Furia, DFURIA for Dennis Furia on Twitter.
I am at MoneySmith 777.
Don't you dare spell that.
MoneySmith for awesome on Twitter.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Awesome. And just really be safe. Be safe and have fun. That's all we ask of you. Good night.
And drink heavily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes without saying. Or
yeah. That's why you need to be safe.
Yeah, exactly.